This is MSO News Sports. I'm Bill Newell along with John Squires. And John, we're talking tournament high school football. We've made it into the MIAA playoffs. Weekend coming up here. We've got all kinds of games happening. We'll have all sorts of coverage here on the website as well. But I guess where do you want to start with looking at this week?
First, I want to congratulate you, Tim, and Monty for agreeing on something the other day. I heard your broadcast, and it's the first time all year you all agreed on something the other day, which is very unusual, which is great. So congratulations to you guys.
And what we agreed on, that it was time to end it, right?
It was time to end the show. Perfect.
I bet there's not one person that did not agree with that it was time to end that broadcast.
No, I want to hear a little bit more. But anyway, so... Yeah, I'm really excited about this weekend coming up. MSO, we're covering some great games right out of the chute. We have some great ball games coming up out of the chute. And I guess, where do we want to start? Okay, well, let's start. I thought of something. I was sitting down looking at something a little bit different. Let's start at some of the surprises or some of the players and performances of teams that we really, on paper before the season, didn't look at. And you start right away here in Swampscott. It was Jake McIntyre. He'd never played football before. Has... eight total touchdowns, close to 500 yards receiving. He had a great game against Saugus the other day. We had 137 yards and two more touchdowns, seven receptions and another touchdown. So he's just had a great year. Andy Clough, who would ever thought Andy Clough and Marblehead would have been their quarterback? Fourth quarterback to get a shot, and he is a beast. I saw the first time I saw him play Friday night over in Marblehead against Ambus. And he's unbelievable. He runs the ball. Every game he's getting close to 100 yards. He's getting one or two touchdowns a game. And he's a real force and really tough for defenses to play. Let's look a little bit at some of the other plays. Keith Ridley over Classical's had a great year. The Danvers D and Danvers first-year Coach Nolan doing a great job. But Vinny Gaskin, close to 1,000 yards. Somerville, probably the surprise team in the whole area. And who would have thought Somerville would be 5-2? And I think they're a real threat to win that Division 5 North Championship. And then finally, North Reading, Hamilton Wenham having great programs, and Danny Monocle over at Masco having a great season. And really, so those are all kind of some of the surprises and some of the people and players we weren't really expecting before the season started.
Yeah. I want to share a thought we had on Vinny Gaskins. Now, I've seen him the last two Friday nights when they came into Lynn English 2 weeks ago. And the English defense held him to very little yardage, and to their credit. Last weekend, he was able to run the ball with some success against Classical High School. But it's funny. He stands in the backfield or at a wing spot, whatever, and you don't really notice him. He doesn't stand out. Then he gets the football. He takes the handoff, goes through the line, and he almost looks like he grows. It's crazy because Tim was almost – I said that, and Tim said, you know, I was thinking the same thing. All of a sudden, he begins to look like a monster running back going through the – you know, once he gets going, it's almost like he inflates. And he was he had some really nice runs, and you can see how, you know, if you don't have a great defense, he will run all over you.
Exactly. I mean, he had – you don't even know it, but he had 137 yards the other day against a good Classical defense. Yeah. So like you said, and he is going to be a threat. If you don't know where he is every single play, as Coach Belichick says for the Patriots, find out where such and such is, because he's going to burn you if you don't know and aren't coached to stop him. And he can have a four- or five-game performance, a touchdown performance, as he did one of the games earlier this season. So that's a great point. He's not that big, but he can fly, and he can really open up a game and turn a game around.
Now, I'm just going to touch on our two broadcast games as such as we have them. We have a Friday night. We're planning to do the game from Manning Field in Lynn, where Classical takes on Danvers, and the second game there, that doubleheader at 7:30. We'll have stuff on the first game as well. We'll have reports on a number of different games. We'll tell you more about that shortly. Then we're also going to be broadcasting our plans are to do the Salem at Hamilton-Wenham game. To me, that looks like a really interesting matchup, because having watched Salem the last 2 weeks, John, I have a lot of respect for this kind of a team. And then watching what Hamilton-Wenham did last Friday night in Linfield with their big win there, this Hamilton-Wenham team, I've been watching the scores all season long. And they seem like they're putting it together.
Well, you got two things to look at. One, first of all, it's strength of league and what the team looks like. I think Salem and Coach Butch has done a great job over this year. They're probably one of the best four and three teams around, and they've been in ball games. And the three teams they've lost to, Classical, Swampscott, and English are the three teams they lost to. Our teams are, two of them have one loss, and one is undefeated. So they're a real threat, and I think the conference might be a tad a little bit stronger than the Cape Ann League. But Hamilton Wenham is undefeated. Hamilton Wenham, what they did to Linfield last week, 7-7 at halftime, and came out and just adjusted and destroyed them. People that were there, Marty said they were very strong, and they're going to be really tough. I look for that as a great ball game, but I don't, I know we don't predict, but I think Salem's going to have to be at their best to beat the Hamilton Wenham, especially over there.
Yeah, they'll be playing on the grass field over there, the actual grass. Yeah, over at Hamilton Wenham. Yeah, they still have it up there. All right, I'm Bill Newell along with John Squires. John, what else should we talk about? We've got so many other games.
Well, some of the game we got, the classical, there's three teams that really they're going to be wars, and they're flip-a-coin games. For the Danvers' reward for playing great against Marblehead and having a great season 5-2, they get classical, and that's a game we're going to cover, you and I, a Friday night over in Manning Field. That is going to be a war. That's going to be a rematch. It was a very close game. You guys, I know Rick, I think Rick and Monty did that game earlier in the season, or Timmy maybe. And that was a war, and that could be anybody's ball game. And beating a team twice in one season is always difficult. Then Gloucester reward for their fine 5-2 season. They got a strong Wilmington team they're playing Friday night, and I know Rick is going to cover that game over at Wilmington. Wilmington comes from a very strong league. The Middlesex League is very competitive, very strong, probably a little bit stronger than the Cape Ann and the Northeastern Conference, so that's going to be a war. And then finally, Swampscott for having their best season they've had probably in 15 years, 6-1. They get Watertown, and Watertown was undefeated and one of the top teams in the state. They come in 3-4, but a very, very strong 3-4 team. So that's going to be a war, a sad day at noontime. You know, so the rest of the teams look like that they got pretty good draws. I don't think many teams are going to stay with St. Mary's or Lynn Tech. I think Marblehead got a good draw. I think English will take care of Winchester. And then we have Tech. They should, they're having a great season with Gavley, who's probably going to be an All-Scholastic back. And so those are the games this weekend. But I'm really looking forward to the ones we're covering. Classical Danvers on Friday night, and then sad day over at Salem and Hamilton Wenham. So the game we're going to be doing, you and I, Friday night, that should be one of the best games in the area.
And having seen that game over in Danvers, the regular season matchup between those two teams, Classical defense really took it to Danvers. You know, this was their second road game. Road win for them, and big one. So you're wondering, how good is this classical team? Well, they went up to Gloucester and won. Then the following week, they went to Danvers and won. But they were grinding down on Danvers, and there were some injured players coming out of that Danvers game on that week because they were. It was a tough defensive battle.
Well, Classical flies for the ball, Billy, and I said this earlier. They remind me of some of the old Classical teams that had with the Thurmans and the McGees and the Binghams and so forth. They fly to the ball and they make things happen. You put the ball up in the air, you got four real good athletes, just like English does in the secondary. So they're going to be tested. And the other thing too is Danvers has been having some problem putting some points on the board lately. They could have got out of Marblehead if we made two field goals. They could have they drove the length of the field to start the game to the 15-9, they could have very easily beat Marblehead, which brings me to another point. Is Marblehead ripe for the picking? Marblehead is, Coach Redliff's done a fabulous job over there this year. They're 7-0. They're playing a team that they should beat. But down the road, are they going to go undefeated? People start, are they going to the Super Bowl? What teams are in our area going to go to the Super Bowl? Who have the best teams? And everybody seems to bring up Marblehead. They've been there before. It's going to be interesting. Which brings me to my last point. Thanksgiving around here, you know how I feel about Thanksgiving football. I cannot wait. The games here, Gloucester, Danvers, Swampscott, Marblehead, Lynn Classical, Lynn English. I mean, those are all going to be great football games, and they're going to mean something for the towns, for the pride, for the programs. We could have four or five games on Thanksgiving Day where teams are moving on to the Super Bowl or come in with one loss, and that's really exciting for me because I love Thanksgiving morning football.
You might be a little more optimistic about that than I am. I'm not sure about that one. But it will be interesting to see how Marblehead, how it shakes up. The team that's gone through an awful lot of adversity this year, the Marblehead football team. You know, John, the other thing, too, I was thinking earlier, you and I were talking before we started doing this, is that you remember, the NCAA basketball team, and they always talk about who's on the bubble, who's going to make it, who doesn't make it, who made it, then who did not make it, and who maybe should have made it. And do you agree with those kinds of selections? So, John, out of the teams that didn't make it or did make it, what are your thoughts on how that kind of shakes out in this year's high school football tournament?
Well, I feel that you should have a 500 record or win your league or come in first or second if there's more than five teams. You know, that's just my feeling. I mean, for instance, give an example. Winchester's won a big game last week. That was only their second win. They're 2-5, and by being 2-5 and being in the eighth seed in their division, they get to play in the tournament. Peabody's won two games in a row, and I feel that, you know, they're very, very, they're a team that's on the bubble. And if Winchester, why not Peabody? If Winchester, why not Bishop Fenwick? Bishop Fenwick now did lose the last game, so they're not 3-4. They're 2-5, and Corey Bright got beat up again and got hurt again. So that could be a problem. But, you know, the teams that are there, I always feel the cream always rises to the top, and I don't care who's in the tournament, who's in the playoffs. Usually the best teams win. I see St. Mary's, possibly Marblehead, possibly Swampscott and English and Tech, maybe all moving on to the final rounds and maybe even farther. So my feeling is that basically that they're doing the best they can. The idea behind this was to get more kids the opportunity to play in a playoff atmosphere. I understand that. But at the same time, in the old days, there was one winner from the league, one team made it, they moved on to the Super Bowl, and that's how it was. It's almost like with the idea with everybody getting a trophy when they're 7, 8, 9 years old. Everybody gets a trophy for participation. Well, you know what? When you're 7, 8, 9, they're still a most valuable player. They're still a best player, and I think the best should get rewarded, just like they do in the classroom.
Yeah. All right, John, we'll leave it at that. John, thanks for joining us.
Billy, always a pleasure. I'm looking forward to this weekend.
All right. John Squires, I'm Bill Newell, looking at the high school tournament playoffs coming up beginning this weekend here on MSONewsSports.com.